From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Claire Strimple with a quick look at your local and statewide news. This week, two Tlingit dance groups from Wrangell are co-leads at Celebration, the once every 2 years festival honoring Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian people of Southeast Alaska. As KSTK's Sage Smiley reports, Wrangell dancers are excited to share stories of the community through song and dance.
Hole in the fin, killer whale. He's a killer whale. My sister Jana, Woodsy Nady, this is a wolf that she just put on her blanket. She took the blanket home.
Past the green and red painted totem laid on its side for restoration, folding tables in the back room of Wrangell's Tribal Cultural Center are covered in beads, fur, felt, and paperwork. It's a few days before the start of Celebration 2022.
The regalia's too short for some of the kids, and some of our buttons have fallen off, and we're just repairing, steaming, cleaning, and redoing things, so it's been quite a chore to do that.
Juan Tlane, Virginia Oliver, or The Frost on the Beach When the Glacier Passes Over, is Wrangell's Johnson O'Malley, or JOM, coordinator. She's spearheading the logistical effort of getting Wrangell kids to Juneau for Celebration.
I have to tell you, my secret is iron on. It's ironing stuff on like a mad woman.
Wrangell's dancers haven't all been together at Celebration since 2018. The biennial event went virtual in 2020 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The local JOM group, known as the Cossatlan Dancers, are named for the old Wrangell village site, Old Willowtown, about 20 miles south of modern Wrangell. Together with the backing group of elders called the Wolf Troop, they make up one of the Wrangell dance troops leading Celebration festivities this week in Juneau. The other is the Shchatkwan, or people near the mainland.
We know that the older dance group is gonna hold it in place for us, and we'll come and do what we do with the children. And they'll stand behind us as the backbone of Wrangell. We'll all be there, so it'll all fall into place.
Some of the Cossatlan JOM dancers, 17 of them according to Oliver, aren't able to attend this year's celebration because of COVID vaccination requirements, which left the mostly student group a bit thin. The school's Indian education program stepped up to bring a small cohort to help fill out the group. One of those students is Mia Wiederspoon.
So I said, my name is Yesh Dlok, so that means Raven's sister.
Wiederspoon says she's most excited to speak Tlingit during Wrangell's performances.
I know I said I was scared, but it's really just anticipation. And I'm excited to learn and talk to so many different sorts of people. I know it's really, I'm just going to try and like shut my mouth and just listen to everyone because I like to talk and talk. But I think it'll be a huge learning experience for me and an eye-opener on what I can do within the culture.
In addition to being the lead dance groups, Oliver says Wrangell's Cossatlan and Shchatkwan dancers will speak about Wrangell history.
We're just imitating our ancestors. We're just going to imitate.
They'll also do performances throughout the weekend.
It's a storyline, a fish camp, done through song and dance with kids. And it's a whole new group of kids, so we're a little anxious, but it will be good. It will be good. Yeah.
Leading Celebration has been a long time coming for the Wrangell dancers, who were supposed to lead at the 2020 celebration that was moved online.
Is it going to happen or isn't going to happen? Is it going to or isn't it? And finally, in the last few weeks, I think it's really going to happen. It's going to happen. And then we're like, oh, we're just racing around and it is happening. And everyone is so excited.
Oliver says almost every event at Celebration is a highlight. Seeing people going to markets to get seal grease, dry fish, salves, or supplies for regalia, but that language circles are one of the most important parts for her.
Just seeing people reconnecting and listening to the language, going to language circles and seeing your teachers there and finding out what the new programs are.
Members of Wrangell's Native community recently participated in a paddle-making workshop led by Master Carver Doug Chilton of Juneau. In addition to making personal paddles, tribal citizens made 10 paddles for the 10 Wrangell clans, which they'll display during the grand processional and throughout the weekend.
We've never been the lead dance group, but we've all been to Celebration, and it's just such an honor. So pleased to be part of it.
As the lead dancers, Celebration's grand entrance and grand exit will begin and end with the Wrangell Coming In Song. Here are Wrangell's Cossatlan dancers and Wolf Troop performing the Coming In Song for the community's first cruise ship visitors earlier this year.
Hey,
sage smiling.
A large tundra fire is threatening the village of St. Mary's. The fire has been burning since the tundra was struck by lightning about a week ago. It's now within 12 miles of the community. Federal entities sent in more firefighters on Tuesday, and some residents are thinking about preparing their go bags. KYUK's Olivia Eberts reports.
Elder George Bean Sr. lives on a hill in Midtown St. Mary's. He's been smelling smoke ever since the fire began on May 31st, over a week ago.
It was a little uncomfortable and hard to breathe.
On Tuesday, the wind switched and gave the village a short reprieve from the smoke. But Beans can still see it, and it's getting worse.
There's a lot of smoke. It's thick over up north of us. It's real thick, and it seems to be getting closer, too.
The fire is getting closer and larger, too. What the Bureau of Land Management first reported as an 1,800-acre fire around 25 miles from the village last Friday had grown on Tuesday. The fire is now estimated to be 33,000 acres and is just 12 miles from the village.
It's been hot, it's been dry, and it's been windy.
That's Beth Ibsen. She's a spokesperson for the Bureau of Land Management. She says the conditions and the proximity of the fire to the village prompted officials to send in more smoke jumpers and the BLM's Chena Hotshot firefighters. 8 smoke jumpers had been there since last Friday. Now there are over 40 firefighters in St. Mary's. The firefighters are setting up camps in town and will hike up to the site of the fire each day. The weather forecast looks hot and dry for the next few days, but Ibsen says she hopes that changes.
We're trying to stall this fire. The weather is not cooperating. We're hoping that some of the forecasted cooler temperatures pan out this weekend, and we're hoping that Mother Nature will help us out with this.
Ibsen says she's, quote, not worried yet, but Elder George Bean Sr. says he is. Beans has been living in St. Mary's for most of his life and says this is the biggest and most dangerous fire he's ever seen. He said Tuesday was the first day he considered stocking an emergency bag with his essentials that he can quickly take with him if he needs to leave the village in a rush.
I instructed my family we need to get something ready here just so we can grab and go.
He says he lives just a short distance from the boat harbor and plans to take his family to another village on the Yukon by boat if the fire reaches St. Mary's. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
A rare lightning storm knocked out power to thousands of Homer Electric Association members early this morning. Tanya LaTorrit with HEA says the utility first got reports of outages between 5 and 6 a.m., impacting over 13,000 members along Kalifornsky Beach Road and down Kasiloff and Anchor Point. Linemen determined there was no damage to the power line around 10:30 a.m. and quickly restored power to all members. LaTorrit says it's safe to say the outages were started by the thunderstorms that shook South Central early Thursday morning. She says that's not what usually happens.
Typically in the summer, you know, the outages are caused more by trees on the line. So this is unusual. And this storm this morning definitely was something out of the norm for us in South Central Alaska.
Thunder and lightning storms are rare for South Central Alaska, but are we seeing them more frequently these days?
It's a really tough question for a couple of reasons.
Brian Bretschneider is a research physical scientist with the National Weather Service Alaska region. He says it's hard to tell whether there are more thunderstorms today because there aren't that many storms to track. That means data on the matter is sparse.
So even if it was increasing or decreasing, it would be really hard to tell.
He says there is some data from Anchorage that dates back over a century, and he says there is a non-trivial increase in those 100 years of about 40%.
But again, we're dealing with mostly a small sample size of events. Now, in the last, say, 30 years, we have a lightning detection network around the state. But again, 30 years, that's only barely long enough to start to talk about any trends.
He says, theoretically, he'd expect to see more thunderstorms as the world continues to warm and there's more moisture in the atmosphere. It's partly cloudy with a high around 60. There's a chance of showers after 1 a.m. tonight. Showers are likely Friday. Cloudy with a high near 60, and it should be cloudy with a high near 60 all weekend. You're listening to KTOO.